Thank God for godly challenges in our life. Thank God for people to come our way. Iron sharpen iron. We grow one with another. I have I love Sunday night service. It always seems a little more open. But I have a hard time finding a formal message for Sunday night service. I just do. For some reason, I just like Sunday night just to flow. But you all come to church, y'all come out, and I want to invest something. I want to lay something out there for you. I think God has touched our hearts. I think God has done something for us on I don't want to say just only an emotional level, but on a spiritual level. Hey, listen, aren't you glad that God deals with us on an emotional level as well? We are emotional people. I don't want an emotional relationship. I don't want an emotional salvation that's up and down, up and down, up and down. And I don't want my salvation based on it. But in the midst of that sure foundation that we have, I want to thank God for the emotions too. So I believe that God's touched us on these things. I just want to share for a minute. And I dug into archives tonight just to share this. And I'll be honest, I spent a lot of time digging in archives and just kind of praying a little bit. But check your gods at the door, lowercase g. Check your gods at the door. Sometimes I think to myself that I'm never going to be able to get rid of all my lowercase g gods. You know what I mean? I heard one person say that, and this is kind of a little bit off the Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." I heard one person say one time that with Jacob, you know, he married Rachel and Leah. And one guy had said, and this is no reflection, and I just, after I said the name, I'm like, oh, we got a Rachel sitting here. One preacher said that God's plan was actually for Jacob to marry Leah, not Rachel. And his evidence was that when they left Laban's house, Rachel had taken a god, a false god with her. And see, she should have not been with Jacob. Jacob's life would have been better. And I rolled my eyes and thought to myself, you're kind of loony. But anyway, but you shouldn't. You got to be careful because there might be a little bit of merit to it. And if Rachel wanted to take in the gods out of her dad Laban's house, not this Rachel, the other one. If he wanted to take in the gods out of Rachel's house, then we would have. Oh, I think he also used because Jesus come through. Judah, and that was Leah's anyways, because you can have some claim that there was some trouble because of it. I always remember something that Norma Bryant taught us on one of our first times of sitting there. We went down to the alternative as strangers, and we said, hey, we'd like to walk the streets and with y'all pass out tracts and minister. Bryan was the curator. He was the director of the mission. Norma, his wife, and they said, okay, you can go, but we don't know you. You have to sit down and have some class with us. And I don't know why she brought this up, but she made a comment that for some reason stuck with me. How many years ago was that we sat down at that class, Mona? Guess what? It was so long ago, we were still young. And so me and Brother Cliff, Sister Mona, I wasn't much older than Gideon is now. And when I first started on walking the streets with them, but she made the comment. She says, you know, sin leads to confusion. Confusion of heart, confusion in spirit, confusion. Sin leads to confusion. She says we need to get sin out of our lives so we can see clearly and we can function. I have no idea why that led me or why that stuck with me so long. But those false gods that we carry with us, those things that we hold on to that we can't let go of, it seems to be that which is going to add confusion. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. I love this verse. I wrote the first time I wrote an article, and I actually felt anointing while I was writing something down was when I hit this. And it says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And as I'm reading this, you got to realize something. Jesus says no man can love two masters, or no man can serve two masters. In reality, in functioning, you can serve two masters. You just can't do it well. In practice, you can actually function, but you can't make either one of them happy. Your heart will always be divided. It's kind of like they say, jack of all trades, a master of none. You can actually do things for God and you can do things for the devil, but let me tell you what, you will only love one and hate the other. And let me tell you what, and Jesus is right in this, because true servanthood to Christ, true servanthood to God is love. And let me tell you, if you're serving God or trying to serve God and you're trying to serve the devil, you're not serving God truly. So that was a real roundabout way of saying it, wasn't it? You can't serve God and the devil. You're going to love one and hate the other. And as long as we're on this earth, as long as we're in this natural flesh, we're going to love that devil because he gives us candy. I asked Raina last night, I said, was it Raina I asked? No, it wasn't Raina I asked. No, I am so sorry, Raina. It was another little girl we had over yesterday. I know, you didn't even get to see her because she was gone by the time you come over. But she was out and her siblings got to stay and play with the kids. And she was swinging on the swing. Her dad said, it's time to go home. And she says, no, I don't want to go home. And I made the comment. I says, oh, you could have stayed when your brother and sister stayed. She goes, no, I couldn't. My mom wouldn't let me. And I said, oh, that mean mom. And her dad jumped in on that bandwagon because us dads are vicious, mean, and horrible that way. That way, not every way, but that way. Her dad jumped in and he says, I would have let you stay, darling. He didn't call her darling, but I can't remember her name, so that's what I'm going to say he called her. I would have let you stay because I'm the nice parent. And I said, darling. I didn't really say darling. I didn't, but I can't remember her name. I said, is your dad nicer than your mom? And she goes, yeah. I said, do you like your dad better than your mom? She says, yeah. I said, are you only saying that because your mom's not out here? She says, yeah. I said, when you grow up, are you running for political office? And she said, no. And her dad says, well, she lies at the right places, so she probably will. But just like the child that always wants the thing that, the one parent that's going to give her every or him everything. Oh, I love that parent so much more than the other one. Dad said I could. Mom said I could. And then my favorite phrase to my children is, well, your mom ain't here right now, so it's no. Because I take so much joy in bringing joy to my children's. But and so we struggle with that sometimes. We always want to cling to that which is more easier for us. Water runs downhill. I learned something a long time ago. It is extremely hard to lay down your God. And we all have that a lowercase g God in our life. We all have that sin. We all have that. And I say sin carefully, and I should have pulled it up. I didn't even think about it till just now. I got a quote from Susanna Wesley. One of her children asked her one time, Mom, what is sin? I'm going to paraphrase because, I mean, it's this big old long paragraph. I'm going to paraphrase, but she says something along the lines of, whatever takes your relish off of God. And that always makes me think of hot dogs. But whatever takes your joy, whatever takes your fervency of prayer, whatever takes your love of the scripture, whatever takes that attention off of God, to you it is sin, no matter how good it might seem. That's really cool, isn't it? We could preach the sin of our recliner sometimes, couldn't we? We could preach the sin of going to church sometimes, couldn't we? It's not our God. Laying our God aside, I learned something a long time ago that everybody has a God that competes with the one true God. I'm not going to mention a name. I find that more and more I hear people that's actually heard a message online or seen a message online or something like that. So I'm not going to mention a name. I know some of you will know who I'm talking about pretty quickly in this. But we've had some folks come in the past and this family come and I remember they were clinging to the Mennonite church. And you could say to yourself, well, that's not truth, and they should. And it was so bad that she looked at me one day, the mama looked at me one day, and she says, you know, we go to the Mennonite, we come to Souls Harbor Sunday night for the spirit, that way we can worship God in spirit and in truth. I don't even know how to respond to that. I didn't then, I don't today. But if that is your mindset, that you're going one place for truth and another place for spirit, there is something wrong with your mindset. And so, but anyway, she said, I didn't understand. And I struggled so long why they were caught up in that Mennonite belief system. And I didn't understand it. One day they were telling me about their past life. And he was a DJ for a radio station, a Christian radio station. I'm sorry, I got to stop and put air quotes around the Christian part right there. One of the so-called Christian radio stations in Rockford, and he was climbing up that corporate ladder. He was such a good DJ that they were bringing him in. They were giving him awards. I mean, I guess whatever awards DJs get. They were ready. He was supposedly going into some syndication. I don't know what all that kind of stuff means. But he was rising up the ladder. He was going to conferences. He was getting job offers. He was just moving up the ladder. She was a Mary Kay girl. She had the big old poof and a bunch of makeup. She was dialed up to the max. Their marriage was on the rocks. There was trouble in the home. There was trouble in the family. They were out and about one time, and they thought that they would just stop into a church. They looked for a church. They found a church. They stopped into it, and it happened to be a Mennonite church. And God dealt with all that pride in their life. God dealt with all that, that they were rising and rising, and they were in a dangerous situation, and God dealt with their God. How many of you are glad that God deals with your God sometimes? How many of you like it when God deals with your God sometimes? Absolutely not. Doesn't that hurt? God had to pull him out of that DJ, that whole race. God had to pull her out of that Mary Kay stuff, that whole... God had to put them in a place where they were, where they can. Unfortunately, they took that. Their God wasn't the designer or whatever she was doing or the important man that he was becoming. That wasn't their God. Their God was that pride within them. And as I'm listening to them talk about their past, I'm thinking to myself, that's what God did. God got a hold of that pride within them, and he humbled them. And he had to quit his DJ job because you can't be on the radio and go to a Mennonite church. That's just their belief system. God dealt with her Mary Kay because you can't really sell Mary Kay to the Mennonites. I say this carefully. Brother Isaac that comes, I think he tends a little towards that Mennonite Anabaptist design. And listen, and you can have your thoughts and all that. I sure appreciate Brother Isaac. And I appreciate a young man that says, I want to serve God with all my heart. And that young man has more love and seeks God's face more than most adult old people like me do. And I sure appreciate him. So I'll pat him on the back a little bit, even though I shake my head sometimes at some of the questions he asks me. And I'm like, get away from that environment. But anyway, so they were dealing. And then I realized about the time they were moving on that their God of pride and their God of who they were was still there. It was just transferring. And they become proud of being humble. And I remember standing up here one day, and she was standing up and she was talking about her. How she would call themselves plain folk. And it was like she was bragging about being plain folk. And this is after I had already thought that God pulled them out of one and put them in. And I thought to myself, they didn't deal with the pride issue. They just became proud of something else. And I remember thinking to myself, because I actually respected the family, and I thought a lot of the family, maybe Sarah, maybe you've seen it, but I was young in the ministry of being a pastor, and I really thought to myself, I kind of liked it when I felt approval from the dad, I was like, yeah. I liked it when the dad and Brother Joe was in his Brother Joe's garage one day, and they had a discussion, and Brother Joe always keeps himself neat and then I rub and I think, oh, I'm not very neat and clean right now. Brother Joe and Brother Joe finds in godliness in keeping himself clean shaven and clean and neat. Matthew Hamp says, well, God puts a difference between the sexes and the genders. A man can wear a beard, a woman can't. We're putting a difference between the genders. I can respect that. I can respect brother. And I thought to myself, man, now whose favor am I going for? Brother Joe wants me to be shaved. Brother Matthew wants me, or this guy wants me to have a beard. Who's his favor? Maybe I'll just have a mustache and try to fit in both worlds. Or maybe my mouth is just really tiny and it looks really funny, so I carry a mustache. Or maybe it's just what I know. Anyway, I'm not. I decided then I wasn't going to try to find Brother Joe's favor or this other guy's. I was just going to find God's favor and just let it go with that. And wherever I can fit in with God, let him deal with my heart. But as I watched him, I found myself wanting, desiring this man's favor. Not over God's. But I thought I was looking up to them. I was thinking well of them. And then I realized they never dealt with the God in their life. Like I said, I think some of you know who I'm talking about, so I don't want to bring accusations, but the end, where they are today, is the same place that they were heading to back in the other pride. And I get frustrated sometimes thinking to myself, and I remember looking at them, wanting his favor, thinking well of him, thinking well of her, good enough of her, and I remember thinking to myself, if they're still struggling with God's in their life, how will I ever arrive? How will I ever make it? How will I ever overcome the God's in my life? It's a conundrum I find myself in. It's the same type of conundrum. Let me just explain it this way, just because you know you've been. It's the same kind of conundrum that you do good for people out of a pure heart and pure motive just so they can have good, right? We want to do good. Sarah's, she works in the food pantry. She wants to do good for these people because she has a love for these people. And she wants to do it out of a pure heart, selflessly, right? We want to help people selflessly. That's the key word, right? That's not me, I'm in here. Selflessly, we want to serve God. Selflessly, we want to do for other people. And then we do something for somebody else selflessly, and it feels good, right? And if we do something for somebody and it feels good, is it really selflessly? It seems like every time I try to give something to God, it benefits me. And then I have to sit down and say, God, did I really do it for you, or am I just trying to do it for me? It's like the one guy says, you got to give your tithes. You got to give so you can get. No, I'm going to give because I want to give. I want to honor God. I want to bring glory to God. I want to help the ministry. I want to do. But then I know I'm going to get. So it's so hard to give up your God. Because sometimes in giving up your God, you're just adopting another one. Even the disciples struggled with pride. They had their gods. They had their things. They had their issues that they struggled with. Matthew chapter 9, verse 34. But they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. I bet you Peter thought he would be. Of course, if they were disputing more than Peter thought he would be. And contention only comes by pride. And it can only come both ways. You can't argue with somebody who doesn't. Isn't that so frustrating? When you go out on the streets and you try to witness to somebody. When you're at work and you try to minister. When you're in your own family and they just kind of placidly say, okay. And then I hate the phrase, I'm going to go ballistic one of these days. I hate the phrase, well, that's good for you. Well, that's true for you. I want to jump up and down and scream and holler. No, it's just true. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same shall be the greatest, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So wait a minute. If I humble myself, I'll become great. Well, I'm going to humble myself so I can become great. It's so hard to deal with your gods in your life, isn't it? But let me tell you something. with God's help, we can overcome. We can do. Keep striving, keep pressing, keep pushing. Last in the pride and in that whole with, he goes on, he says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And so Peter says, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands also, and etc. And so sometimes our God is not that pride. Sometimes it's not that emotion within us. Sometimes it's not those things that we are, that we become. Sometimes our pride is our materialism. I don't know that anybody in here necessarily has pride of materialism. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But in Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 18, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good, save one that is God. Sister Janice throws that at us all the time. I like to, every once in a while, I think I get it from Brother Russ, every once in a while I'll greet somebody, Brother Daniel, I think I do, when I text you from time, good morning, good brother. Sister Janice says, there's none good, no, not one, only God is good. And yes, ma'am. None is good save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Thou shalt do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all of these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, and for he was very rich. Now, if God said, Gary, sell that little plot of grass that you have. I'm sorry. I just watched a truck pull up and go between the telephone pole and the church. And it just kind of went pitter-patter, pitter-patter for a moment in my heart. So, but I didn't hear no bang, so I think we're okay. But if you'll give me just a second, I'm just going to get the cameras pulling and started so I can look and make sure they're not dead out in the parking lot or something. But anyway, so little distractions from time to time. If you don't have a squirrel mind, no, I see, and it's all clear out there. And so if you don't have a squirrel mind, you can't understand this. I don't, people are just weird, aren't they? People are just crazy, but everything's clear out there right now, so we're good. But if you don't have, if you've never had that thing in your life, that you love, God ever tells me to sell that property over there in Pecatonica, I'll be like, okay, not a problem, Lord. I'm okay with selling it. And I'm telling you, I love that property over there in Pecatonica. That is my highest value thing on this earth, material blessing on this earth. That's my highest value. But it would depend. Now, if God says, sell that and move out of state, yes. So Sarah greeted Brother Kevin and Sister Rachel yesterday. Sarah's so funny. She says, welcome to Illinois, where our people are as high as our taxes. The church is planning to move. The whole church is going to move to Wyoming one of these days and get out of Illinois. I don't know why you'd want to come. Dylan. But God calls us to our ministry, and God calls us to where we are, and we just be obedient to God to go where we are. If God told me to sell that property, and I am so close to paying it off, y'all, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and as Dave Ramsey says, it's not an oncoming train. I'm so close. I'm just about there selling that property off. I'm so excited. If God says, you sell that and give all the equity to the poor, worse than that, if God says, you sell all that and move to a foreign country, y'all, I'm going to curl up into a fetal position, suck my thumb, and rock. I'm going to say, God, you need to send me a burning bush, because I'm sure I didn't hear you right. There's going to be a struggle. We might have that material blessings, and no man can serve two gods. I'm wrapping some things up at the house over at Gideon's property. I'm wrapping some things up. And then I got to focus at the church again. We did some stuff at the beginning of the year when we were off, some last year when we were off, but we need to do some work around here. We need to get some stuff done. I need to be mindful of the ministry more than mindful of our own stuff. right? Doesn't that make sense? Where's your gods? Check your gods at the door. Sometimes my gods are my material things. Not that I'm so proud of it. Not that I want to hold on to it. But in that I pay more attention to that. Man, it's hard. When you start digging into your life and you start finding these false things, these diversions to God, it is hard to separate. Brother Kevin's been talking to me on that for about a year and a half. You've been really focusing on it and setting our affections. But man, them gods hide. Have you never noticed that the false gods in your life keep hiding from you? It's awful hard to see our own hearts, isn't it? It's so hard, and we think we got it under control. We think we nab it. Sometimes I think we have big issues in our life just to hide what God's trying to do in our... It goes back to Sister Melody last Sunday night. Man, she hit the nail on the head. She says, I'm so focused right here that I keep missing what God's doing for me over here. Political parties are really good about that. They make a big stink about things over here. Hey, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. And they're doing something down here that you're not even noticing. I think they got it from the devil. So I got that emotional, that pride, those outlooks and mindsets of our life. And then we got material blessings and the gods hide in there. But God's also hiding our natural relationships on this earth. Anybody ever have a relationship on this earth kind of draw your attention away from the things of God? This is my last thought here tonight. There's so many others. Really, honestly, all I want to do tonight is to springboard and to push us forward to saying to you, so you can step back and say to yourself, what is in my life right now that is clouding my vision of God? I tell you, I think one of my greatest sins is my recliner. I love my recliner. Sarah hates my recliner. It's got a high-pitched squeak that I can't hear, but she can. I don't know how many of the others in the family can. She was doing school with the kids one day. I was just sitting there minding my own business. Had headphones in one ear, doing some work, and I felt them. Every man knows what I'm talking about. I felt them. Brother Daniel, it looks like he's catching up. I felt them, Brother James. It was a pair of eyes staring holes into me. And I looked up. What? Did you say something? And she took my legs and she tied them in three knots and said, don't you move again or your arms are next. Those distractions, those things that just drive you nuts, that draw your attention away. We got to be careful of our relationships because they're that high-pitched squeak sometimes that draws away. Jesus said it this. Let me see if I got this. I didn't. Why didn't I put this in here? Oversight on my part. I can't quote it, but Jesus said something to the effect. He says, if you love your mother or your brother, your father, your sister, and I don't know why I did it in that order. If you love your son or your daughter, if you love anybody more than me, you're not worthy of me. He actually said it this way. He said, if you don't hate them, because you put God first. Let me tell you, be a better husband if you put God first. You'll be a better wife if you put God first. You'll be a better son, daughter, father, mother, friend. Don't let your relationships come between you and God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, but if I confess you before this, they'll make fun of me. I come home from school one day, all weepy, cry, oh, boo-hoo, oh man, I had it so tough. I was a snowflake. Mom and Dad, what's wrong, son? The kids on the bus made fun of me. My kids are homeschooled. They miss out on getting made fun of at school. I think it's a character building experience to get made fun of at school. So I make fun of my kids. I do it in a loving way for a purpose. I got one smiling and one glaring and one don't know what I just said. Come home and says, oh, they're making fun of me. My dad looks at me and he says, do you like those kids? No, I hate them. He says, then why do you care what they think of you? It's like the guy at work one time and says, I'm trying to remember how he said it. He says, I have a bad taste in women. I said, what? Because I'm getting through another divorce. This is my second one. I have bad taste in women. I said, or they have bad taste in men. I said, it might be you. He didn't like that very much. He don't talk to me anymore. Don't let your relationships come between you and God. You have a heart before God. You have a mind before God. My dad said, son, it doesn't matter what they think of you. You don't even like them. He said, do you like me and your mom? Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah, you're my mom and my dad. Of course, I love you. He says, so really all that matters is what we think of you. And we think you're all right. We love you too. Yeah. They love me. I'm okay. I'm all right. And Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, I will confess him before my Father in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, why do we deny him before men? Well, they might say, they might do, they might be, they might feel. Church, the most I've ever known somebody to walk this earth personally, one-on-one. I know my great-grandma was over 100, but the most personal I've known has been 94 years old up to this point. I guess Brother Husky's 95 on next Sunday, right? 96? I thought he was only 1 year older than you. 96. So I guess I know Brother Husky. 94, 96 years old. If I have to live 95, 96 years with people that don't like me, but I get an eternity with the one that does, let me confess Jesus before y'all. And if it don't work for you, let me confess Jesus before y'all. And if you want to throw stones at me, I won't confess Jesus before you anymore. I'll stand in front of him. Right? Don't let the relationships, these earthly, temporal relationships. Young people, let me tell you something. All, everybody, Kayla's the oldest young people here. So from her down, let me tell you something. Kind of afraid of what people might think or say about you now. Guess what? It doesn't change when you get older. They still make fun of you. They still laugh at you. And no matter how much of us big men say, it don't bother me none, it always does. But you know what you do? Just get used to it. Because at the end of the day, you have a heavenly Father to go to. And you can lift your hands to him and say, I love you, Lord. And those emotions and that pain that you felt, I love you, Lord, will start to melt away. Singing, I love you, Lord. And at the end of it all, he made it all right. And it hurts to give up your gods. And it hurts to give up those things that draw. I'm not saying they're all bad. I'm just saying they're going to cloud your judgment. I think that's why Paul says lay aside every weight and the sin. I think that's why he threw weight in there. That does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience. Looking up to Jesus. author and finisher of our faith. And at the end of it all, He make it all right. Brother Joe, I can hear it as though it was yesterday. Week after week, and I don't know why you went downstairs. I don't really care why you do. But after service, you'd walk downstairs, go out the back and walk down the stairs. And you'd just belt out at the top of your voice. Probably wasn't the top of your voice. I've heard you preach. But you belt it out loud enough, He says, "It will be worth it all." He probably saw all of our faces out there while I was preaching and think to himself, "Man, that was tough, them sour pusses. When we see Jesus," he sounded a little better than that little squeak there, "life's trials will seem so small." Brother Joe, were we that hard on you? "When we see Him." Because He'll make it okay. So it may be tough and it may be hard, but let me tell you what, check your gods at the door. At the end of it, it'll be worth it. Lord, I thank You so much for Sunday night service. I thank You so much for the opportunity we have to touch Your throne. I thank You so much for being there for us. Lord, we sure have messed up a lot. You sure have been patient. We appreciate You. We love You. We're grateful for You. Now, God, I pray for everyone in here, because we've all got those things. We've all got those things. We pray for everyone in here. First of all, reveal those things to us. And thank You for doing it for us. I don't believe there's anybody in here that You haven't revealed stuff to and we haven't tried to get it right. First of all, reveal it to us. And then, God, give us the strength to overcome. It's tough, Lord, sometimes, and I don't understand all of it. It's tough sometimes. But every time You've dealt with my heart, every time, and every time I've got it right, You have blessed and honored me for it. And it would have been enough if You just delivered me. But then You gave me the blessing. Thank You, Lord, for it all. We submit to You, we yield to You, we lay it at Your throne. We ask it one more time. Find us worthy, Lord, to use us for Your kingdom, for Your honor, for Your glory. To edify the church, to reach the lost, and to bring You glory. We pray for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.